in Isaiah 43, verse 19. And it says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now, today it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert, and I'm making streams in the wilderness." So tuck that away. I might read it again at the end of the service, but I really felt the Lord saying, read it. Read it first. So I will put my tic-tac in. Sorry. Clicker on. I wish I could wear that little headset, but the hair keeps pushing it out of the way, so I can't. You know, last week, we discovered that being still, standing and living fully in each moment of our life will build contentment. It can, if we allow it to. Because we can rest in the assurance that God knows exactly where we are, and He will supply everything that we need in the I am here moments of our life. But this morning, we're going to move. We're just going to move a little. In John 4:35b, Jesus is saying to His disciples, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." So today, we're going to move forward. We're going to catch some momentum. There are seasons when we stand, and I share that with you. Sometimes you just have to stand, whether to put up a fight or to rest in stillness. But seasons change, and so must we. We must move forward, not backward. And I had such a huge visual image of that yesterday when I was editing some photographs on my iPhone from snapshots that I took of our little grandkids. And they have this live photo ability. And then when you push the edit button, this all these tiny little snaps come up. And so I Googled how long are those images, and 1.5 seconds before the image you want and 1.5 seconds after you have movement. So even in our standing still in those moments, there is momentum. And I think that's what God wants us. I really believe God wants us to do that today, to give us a vision for our future so that we could have purpose and fulfillment, and also give us courage to move on from where we are currently standing. I chose that picture deliberately because two of our children are avid hikers. They call it hiking. It's not. They're mountain climbing. And they move places where they just keep Chris and I on our knees. And God actually gave me the scripture to make their feet like hinds feet, because it's scary what they're doing. But they love it, and they're always moving forward. So this is a young man moving forward with great courage. But when we say vision, what exactly is that? Webster's Dictionary says the faculty or state of being able to see. The biblical definition is a supernatural revelation, a divine communication. And you know, when God gives you a vision, He will give you the ability to see and understand the meaning behind that. He isn't the author of confusion. You might have to, we will go through some steps, but it's not, God is not going to trick you. He's not going to dangle things in front of your nose just to tease you. He might give you larger vision, but when we had that first scripture, if you lack vision today in your personal life, in your ministry, if you are at a place in life where you think, "I think I've lived it all, what else is there?" There is always more with God. There's always forward momentum. Because until we see Him face to face and we will be like Him, we are called to move forward and to be active on this earth with purpose. So how do I know even that this sermon is for today? Well, amazing things happen for confirmation. And I have Jacqueline's permission to share. Two people shared on Wednesday night prayer, and Jacqueline was one of them. And if I don't have it exactly right, please go talk to her afterwards, and she will fill you in. But she said the scripture that kept coming to her were Jesus walking on the water and the disciples through the storm. And they certainly did not expect to see someone walking on the water. That vision at first scared them. But Jesus said, "Guys, it's me." Right? He immediately calmed their fears. And sometimes we see things that think, what am I seeing? This is odd. Could this really be God? Yes, God shows up in unexpected ways. And Jacqueline prayed into, could we see you, Jesus, when you show up in those unexpected ways and moments that we think, this can't be happening? Well, it does, because God is God. And his ways are higher than our ways. So just let's remember about vision, that if God gives us a vision, he will make it clear to us what it is and even the purpose of that vision. It might not unfold all at the same time, but it will unfold for us. Think of another example in the Old Testament with Joseph. Joseph was given dreams. And when he shared his dreams, we see now that maybe perhaps he wasn't always so wise in his youth of sharing the vision that God gave him, because the brothers thought, who are you? What do you mean we're going to bow down to you? But there was a moment in Joseph's life, and it was, I thought, really a funny moment at a family reunion dinner, when all of a sudden, click, Joseph is looking at his brothers and he's thinking, yeah, all those things that happened to me were for purpose. Because now you have provision, the land has provision, it all fell into place for Joseph. And I want you to know that God has created you, your minds, and you can trust him to give us ideas and dreams. I see in front of me Malcolm, and God has given him the ability to see technicolor things into the spiritual realm. I am often envious, and then I thought, I don't know if my body was made to receive this. I don't know if I could stand up under the weight of it. But I know, as I'm saying it, if God gave me such a revelation, I might be face down. But that doesn't mean I won't get up and God won't give me the revelation for it. So my hope, God's hope for you today is that you would get a new, fresh vision for your life and for your families. Maybe young people, the next step, what am I going to do? What is my occupation? Where am I going to move to? You might be seniors like Chris and I are now, and we think the kids have left, we have grandkids, but what is our purpose? And so all the time, don't forget to ask the Lord, help me to see. So that's what we're going to do this morning. So step number one, at least for today, is look up and see. I don't know if you can see this man very well, but he is working. And I wonder if at this moment he knows that the sky is blue, because he's so intent on his task. And that's kind of what we do too. Our daily grind sometimes keeps us from pausing and looking up. I've walked past places where there's construction workers and they are so busy and the sun is shining and it's so hot. And I just want to say, stop, have some water. The sky's blue, relax. But do we notice the everyday miracles of life sometimes because we're so busy? Do we notice the sky? Do we notice one another? Do we notice creation? Sometimes do we think about the miracle of salvation? Yes. You know, when the disciples or the friends of the lame man opened the roof, and they thought he needs to be healed. That was at that point. But Jesus said, stop. Think about salvation first. That's more important. Do we do that? But sometimes the burdens are so heavy, and Jesus understands us, but he does want us to change our focus. That's what happened to the Israelites in the desert when they were bitten by the snakes. Look up. Look up. And Jesus said that to his disciples, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. This was, of course, a reference to winning souls, but their mind was on, we need to get some lunch. And when Jesus further explained, they thought, where did you get food? They had not stopped to think about anything but the immediate needs. And Jesus said, look, stop and look. So sometimes our past experience may create for us, I can't do this again. That's the negative. I can't do this again. But I know God will give you a new vision, a fresh vision. Or sometimes we can be like that fat little cat laying in the window and the sun is shining and the little cat loves the sunspot and they get fatter and fatter and fatter. And then when you say, go catch that mouse for me, they can't because they have just enjoyed being in that little moment in the sun and not moving on. So whether we are in a really, really good place or whether we are in a valley, there is momentum. God wants us to move forward. Now there, we'll talk about a couple of things that maybe can hinder. But first, and then step number two, ask the Lord, what do you want me to see? What are you showing me? And Jesus was so specific in that scripture to the disciples. He said, look at the fields. He didn't say, look at the sun, look at each other. In that moment, Jesus said, look at the fields. So I know that when God gives us something, we can ask, Lord, what do you want me to see? And for me personally, that's why that picture is up for that little free library. Because I work, minister at the church, I'm so surrounded by people who know and love and understand the Lord. And then often when I come home, it's time to make supper and the day is gone. And I thought, Lord, how do I impact the neighborhood? Give me a vision for something. And then I saw a post on Facebook, and Andy Faulkner, who is the wife of our Foursquare Canada president, did this. She built a little free library, and so amazing. This has morphed into having tea parties on her front lawn with the ladies in the neighborhood. That is not my vision, Chris. Just rest assured. Unless God changes my vision. But I just wanted for the people to know we are here, we love you, and we want to bless you. And in my years, 16 years as preschool teacher, I have so many children's books that I thought, they're being stored for what? So I can read them to my grandchildren, the 50 plus books once every month when I see them? No. So this excitement is building in my heart, and you know, Mr. Chris is on board because he has to do the work for the vision that's going to come. So this is what I could see, though. I could see children and their moms maybe walking up the lawn. Not sure if that's going to happen, but however they're going to walk up to our house, we're going to have people coming to us. Isn't that, I just think it's just so amazing. And there's been some posts on Facebook about why it wasn't working, why it could work. And even that could not quench the excitement in my heart because I thought, well, I really believe God, you put that in my heart. So if it is from you, you're going to help me make it happen. So we ask God, what do you want me to see? Now, look at that picture. Do I see clearly, though? Matthew 5:22 says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Are my motives pure? I thought. I went through that little checklist with this. Do I want to be like Andy? No. God, did you give me this? Yes, because sometimes our motives can be a mixture of God and us. But when that happens, we can ask God to cleanse our hearts. King David wrote, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. So when you get that vision, it's so good to have that little check. Do I see clearly? Are my eyes clean? do I want this because I think that's the way my life is going to be better for me? Do I want this because I really want to help Pastor Chris be better at what she does and she's not doing it right, so my vision will help her get there? You know, because check yours. I have to do that too. And I asked the Lord about that for my little library vision. And that can be your starting point to say, God, what do you want me to see? And then help me to see clearly. Now, it's not always us, though. It's not our own motives that sometimes can get us going. It could be enemy whispers. And when I was thinking about that, the Lord gave me a picture of someone getting sand thrown in their eyes. I've seen that in action flicks that I've watched with Chris. Somebody plays, fights unfairly, and they throw sand in the opponent's eyes. Well, that hurts, right? It's annoying, aggravating, but it does hurt. And all you want to do then is get the grime out. You even forget about looking at anything. And that's what the enemy does to us. He doesn't throw sand in our eyes literally, but it's always that little voice. This is not for you. You could never do that. Why would God call you to accomplish that? When doubt and fear enter into our hearts in confusion, you know it is not the voice of the Lord. He always speaks clearly and with love. So if in this vision, if you have those little niggles of doubt and self-condemnation and all of that, you know it is not God, because in Romans 8 verse 1 we read, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who don't walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Because last week we remembered that we have a navigator, that's the Holy Spirit, and he will tell us. He's not going to confuse us. So if it is the enemy, we talked about washing eyes. God will wash our eyes for us. And we can pray that God would silence the tongue of the enemy. Then another thing to consider is timing. Is this for now? Is it for who? Yesterday, Chris was working so hard, and he's got a little bit of an arm injury. And I just said, stop. It doesn't have to be done this weekend. This can wait. Although, I'm not going to lie, I was really happy that he was actually working on the project and making so much progress. But timing. Is this vision for now or later? Is this for me? Is this for us? Is it for someone else to come alongside to help? King David had such a beautiful vision to build God's temple. It was a good thing. It was a beautiful thing. But it was not for him to accomplish. God said yes to the vision, but no to King David to accomplish it. He was helping to prepare someone else to accomplish his vision for God to have a dwelling place here on earth. And you know what? King David submitted to God's will in the vision. And what he did was not respond in grumpiness and, well, forget that then. But then he took part of that vision and helped his son by gathering all the materials for it. That was not an easy thing to do either, but he did it. And also in that, King David modeled wisdom that we can follow by going to trusted friends. And in this, his case, it was the prophet Nathan, who thought, hey, this is a good idea at first too. And Nathan said, do what it is in your heart to do. You can read about that in 2 Samuel 7. But then God spoke to Nathan and said, no, you go back and tell King David this is not for you to do. And even though King David had that message from Nathan the prophet, God also visited David personally and told him why. And in 2 Samuel 7:11, he said that God will make David a house. So the answer was no. But there was also hope, and there was that forward momentum. God said, yeah, this is going to happen. Not in your time, but guess what? I'm going to do for you. And that's what I want us to remember. God is always working on our behalf. He's building us up in ways we don't even sometimes know. But God is a God of forward momentum. He is building us up. We don't sometimes realize that. And I think in those standing still moments, we can get that. I told my kids, you know, God, because they are so proud of their accomplishments in hiking, and they should be. But I said, do you know that God is behind the scenes keeping you safe? And when you take these big leaps and those crazy, scary hikes, that God is making your feet like hinds feet, He is always building us up. And then the result of a vision from God is joy and satisfaction. What a crazy little picture. You wonder why I put this up. Well, I had a conversation with Carolyn this week, Pastor Carolyn, and it was so evident from the way that she spoke and about all the things that were taking place in Cranbrook that she and Ed are in the right place at the right time. She told me, this is her words, that my vision for pastoring a church is being fulfilled right before my eyes. And her heart was full of joy. Her speech was full of joy, even though there was hard work to do. She and Ed are living a purposeful life and receiving godly satisfaction and fulfillment, no matter how crazy some of the tasks that are facing. This week, Carolyn spent an afternoon bat-sitting. A little bat had found its way into the building, and it was sitting right at the exit where the parents and children would have to leave, and the bat wasn't moving, and there was no one to come and catch the bat at that moment. So Carolyn said, I took my books, and I sat, and I watched the bats. So when the kid and the child and the parents were coming, there would be no fear, no scary. I was there to help them. And she said, Chris, it's crazy. I don't like bats, but I was really happy to be there. So from that, you know, when God gives you that vision, there's going to be the fruit of joy and purpose, no matter how hard or how crazy the task is. And then I sent her this picture. I said, I'm going to mention you. And then she sent me a picture back for her Facebook, which I didn't put up, but it's a little Lego bat woman. She said, that's going to be my new profile. Now, write it down. When you have the vision from the Lord, it is so important we write it down. The Lord said in Habakkuk, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. When we write something down, when we inscribe it, we have that visual remembrance of what was revealed to us. In the days when the prophet wrote that down, they didn't have the luxury of everyone having books. So when you received something, you wrote it down. And at the closing of our service in a moment, that writing down will look a little different, but it is mark it. Mark that vision, because it will give us momentum. We will not walk, but we will run toward the vision that God has given us. When I thought about that, the Lord showed me a clear stream of water that is running. It is so refreshing. Everyone wants to run to that stream or be in the stream of clear and fresh water, because it always runs into something bigger. And have you seen people with vision? They live life fully and with purpose. And it is contagious. After I spoke to Carolyn, I hung up the phone and I thought, oh, I have 1,000 things to do, but I'm so happy to be here as well. I know the kitchen cupboards need to be clean and XYZ and everything needs to be done, but guess what? I get to do this with the people that I love. I love God. We're in this together. And the vision just kind of got bigger and bigger in my own heart as well. So we are at the closing of our service. And again, during our time of prayer on Wednesday night, Sister Fun Cho was given a powerful revelation of this verse that was already in my sermon point. And she said, when we were praying, it came upon her so powerfully. I heard her go, ooh, at the end of the service. It just impacted her entire body. And she said, is this for someone of you here? And we all kind of checked with one another, and no one said a clear yes. But I really believe that it was a confirmation that today, this very day, God wants to give some of you, all of you, a fresh vision for your personal life, for your ministry. Where do you need it? Where do you need a vision? Matthew 7:7. Let's read this together out loud. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. I would ask right now, do you have a broken vision? Has someone thrown sand in your eye? Do you maybe have a blurred vision? Do you have no vision at all? I remember a time when Pastor Barry said to me, what is your vision for children's ministry? And I thought, my vision? We have good curriculum. We have teachers in place, you know. And so I had to think about, what does that mean? That's why I went through the what does that mean portion first. But ask the Lord to give you vision for where you lack. If you have vision, great. In a moment when we pray together, pray for someone else to receive it. But I know that God wants to give that to each of us because He loves us and He has a plan and a purpose for our life. And we're going to ask the Lord to open our eyes, help us to see clearly, help us to see with confidence so we can take that leap forward. I'm going to pray for us. And as we do, Connie is going to come up and minister to us in a song. And during that time, we're going to pray for one another. But I would ask you to be really, really brave. If you need someone to pray with you, if you need fresh vision, would you just lift your hand a little bit? Doesn't have to be. If you want to stand on the chair and jump up and down and say, I need this, go ahead. But if you just raise your hand, and then those of us who have this in our heart, we have a burning vision, we're going to come alongside you and we're going to minister to you. And then when the song is over, we are dismissed with blessing. But would you minister to one another? Would you be really honest about your needs today? Because God wants to give it to us. There's been witness of His word that this is going to happen today. And I believe this is the day, this is the moment that God will give us new life, new vision. So let's pray. Father God, I pray for us all that You would help us see what You want us to see, because You give us a future and a hope. Father, where our eyes have been sand, someone has thrown sand in, the enemy works that way. Would You clean our eyes by Your Holy Spirit and help us just to have those washed eyes and healed eyes, hearts and eyes. Where we see blurred vision, where we mix up us and You, would You take us away so that we could clearly not worry about the lunch, but see the white fields that are ready for harvest. Father God, I pray that You would grant that to everyone today, that even in these moments where there is fear of, I'm not sure that I'm good enough to receive, that voice of the enemy would be silenced in the mighty name of Jesus, and that we could receive and have forward momentum because You are good and Your purposes for us are eternal in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.